Welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yetta. Each weekday morning, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, and with military and economic schemes. If you listen, your eyes may be opened, and you may ultimately change your mind towards some of these human institutions. Instead of merely presenting the news, my mission is to help you understand what is occurring behind the headlines, all while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 20 years. Then, during our second hour, we're going to engage Yahweh on his terms by way of his one and only covenant and through his always dependable Torah teaching, so that with his guidance you will be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with God. Our phone number, should you wish to question, criticize, or affirm anything I have to say or my guest this morning has to say on Shattering Myths, is 877-300-7645. When you think of the concept of shattering myths, of debunking concepts that beguile people, the first name that comes to my mind is IQ Al Rasuli, because he is the foremost spokesperson, I think, in the world, relative to exposing the myths that are associated with Islam. And there are no more beguiling, no more destructive, no more deadly myths in the world today than those associated with Islam. And that is because fundamentalist Muslims are responsible for 99% of the world's terrorist acts. And in those countries where Muslims are the majority of the population, where Muslims control government, those nations are the least civil, most impoverished, most violent, most unproductive places in the world to live. Islam has poisoned and destroyed everything that has touched. Now, this morning, in our discussion with IQ Al Rasuli, who has written three volumes of a book called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam, a book that can be purchased at Amazon.com, or you can visit actually communicate directly with Al Rasuli by searching for Al Rasuli. It's two S's and two O's in Rasuli.com. What we're going to do today is, and probably for a couple of sessions forthcoming, will be to discuss stupidity in Islam. And it would normally be mean-spirited. It would be considered hateful and inappropriate to just poke fun at the stupidity in a religion under normal circumstances. But these are not normal circumstances. Islam is responsible for the deaths of millions of people. It treats half of its population, women, like animals. It is responsible for virtually every terrorist act perpetrated in the world today. And therefore, by belittling the religion, using its own wannabe prophets and its own wannabe gods' statements, which are utterly stupid, and demonstrating how stupid Muhammad and his pretend God were, then perhaps we can undermine the credibility of this religion and therefore save many of our countries and children from it. IQ, how are you this morning?
I'm very, very well, thank you. But I would like to add one single item, and we can disagree on this very nicely. To call Islam a religion is the most egregious falsehood ever perpetrated upon the human consciousness. Islam is a cult belief system, the cult of Muhammad. I'm not going to argue about the semantics. All I don't, on a personal level, to call Islam a religion is insult to every other religion, even if we think of religions as abnormal and irrational. To compare Islam with them is an insult to them. Back to you, sir.
Well, there is both truth to that, and also I have concern with that statement, IQ. See, I view Christianity as the cult of Paul. Paul created Christianity by attacking Yahweh, the author of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. Now, the fact that Pauline Christianity isn't as overtly vicious as is Islam, the fact that Paul wasn't as repulsive an individual as was Muhammad, then we're just taking comparisons, and there's where your statement is factual. You know, the very concept of you saying that Islam, what you're suggesting, is that Islam is so rotten that even if we don't think kindly of religion, Islam gives religion a bad name.
That's exactly what I meant.
Yeah, and my view is all religions are rotten. And so to refer to Islam just as the worst of a bunch of rotten religions is my view, which is very similar to yours. It's just that you come from a place where you recognize that most people view religion favorably, and therefore if they denote the favorable status of religion to Islam, then they will be apply an inappropriate perspective to it, because Islam is so repulsive, so vicious, so opposed to anything that we would hold moral and good, that those comparisons are not justified in the case of Islam.
That's exactly the bottom line.
Yes.
As I say, and irrespective of what we think about religion in general, the cesspool of Islam beats everything, absolutely everything. I've never known anything, and I've studied almost anything that can be of value that to study, as rotten, as vile, as indecent, as inhumane as Islam.
Yeah, I'm going to play devil's advocate, if I may, here with you in this regard, IQ, because, well, I agree that with your statement that Islam is the most vulgar belief system ever conceived. And let me underscore why I've come to that conclusion. Muhammad was a pedophile. He was a rapist. He was incestuous. He was a mass murderer. He was a liar. He was a kidnapper. He was a slave trader. And he was an avowed liar. He never had any conversation with God, and yet he has convinced billions of people that he did. And his religion is based upon the thievery and killing. It is the most repulsive doctrine ever conceived by man. So we are in agreement that Islam is rotten to the core. But as I survey all of the religions and political manifestations in our world, I look at Islam and say it is so utterly stupid, and this will kind of lead into our conversation today, that it is so utterly foolish that it will only fool a fool. That if you're fooled by Islam, you know, perhaps you deserve your fate, because the religion is so rotten, it's so grotesquely immoral, so obviously untrue, that it would only fool a fool. Now, I look at something like Pauline Christianity, which is very cleverly written to be a counterfeit, and see how it is so enormously more effective at being beguiling, at being misleading. And I wonder, is the worst religion the one that is just so utterly demonic, so sadistic, so utterly destructive and deadly? Is it that one? Or is it the one that really pretties itself up and puts lipstick on a pig and makes itself out to be a very clever counterfeit so that it beguiles people who don't scratch beneath the surface, who are not fools, but who are not resourceful enough, not reasonable and rational enough to avoid being fooled?
Whatever you say is true, and we are reading the same page, I still find Islam as a concept by Muhammad is the most rotten, the most vile, the most demonic, the most satanic, the most evil.
Yeah, there's some serious credibility in that statement. One of those aspects is that if you're going to perpetrate a counterfeit, for example, Christianity, or if you're going to perpetrate a human scheme like socialist secular humanism, there are aspects of those doctrines which are beneficial. There are aspects of what they say that is true. Overall, they're destructive. With Islam, one would be hard-pressed to find anything that is true or anything that is beneficial. It is so utterly and completely rotten to the core, so hopelessly useless, so utterly destructive, that any informed and rational evaluation of the schemes that have been developed by man, nothing holds a candle to Islam in terms of being rotten, destructive, deadly.
I think you just start about showing the people how stupid it is. You want to start or you want me to start?
You go first.
Okay. I'll be quoting also like you, so that people will not misunderstand. Sunan Abu Dawud Hadith 4705, narrated by Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, who is a cousin of Muhammad. Muhammad asked his companions, "Do you know the distance between heaven and earth?" They replied, "We do not know." He then said, "The distance between them is 71, 72, or 73 years. The heaven which is above it is at a similar distance. Above the seventh heaven, there is a sea. The distance between these, whose surface and bottom is like that between one heaven and the next. Above that, there are 8 mountain goats. The distance between whose hoofs and haunches is like the distance between one heaven and the next. Then Allah, the blessed and the exalted, is above that." Can you believe this?
I just know that next time when you're citing them, I shouldn't be drinking coffee or it'll end up all over my keyboard. What's really funny about Muhammad is if a different group of people that same day were to ask Muhammad exactly that same question, or were to listen to Muhammad's explanation on that exact same issue, there is not one chance in 1,000 that he would give them the same answer. He wouldn't even be able to remember what he wouldn't even remember what he said. In fact, that takes me to my first point on stupidity. This is from Bukhari. It's volume 6, book 6, number 55. The Prophet said, "It is a bad thing that some of you have said that I have forgotten such and such a verse of the Quran. For truly, I have been caused by Allah to forget it. So you must keep on reciting the Quran because it escapes faster than a runaway camel." Here's the guy that claimed that every verse of the Quran was perfect, was in this eternal tablet and had been given to him by Allah, and he can't remember it, admits that he can't remember it, and says that, "Oh, it's Allah himself that has caused me to forget it." I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back with IQ Al-Rasuli in a moment. Hello and welcome back to Shattering Mystery with IQ Al-Rasuli. We're speaking about stupidity in Islam. We're doing so because Islam is the most rotten, repulsive, deadly, and destructive, damning doctrine that has ever been conceived by man. And by proving to you, by citing statements from its illustrious prophet, wannabe prophet, I should say, we can undermine its credibility. And when we undermine its credibility, then more and more people might be willing to oppose it. It is astonishing to me that, that Muhammad would admit that he himself couldn't remember the Quran, but that he would actually say that Allah caused him to forget it, and then he would come up with a lame line like reciting the Quran, recite the Quran because it escapes faster than a runaway camel. That's pretty amazing, since the book wasn't even written down for hundreds of years after these first recitals. It was all passed on by hearsay. And here even the guy that's alleged to have received it said, "I can't remember it."
Yeah, we should really enlighten our audience.
Yes.
To explain to them even the verses that we discussed. For example, I said that Muhammad said that the distance between the heavens of one heaven to the other is 71, 72, or 73 years.
Mm-hmm.
How would anybody with logic measure distance in time? The reason, Muhammad being a cameleer, measures distance by time. He has no choice. That is the time it takes him and his animal to get from point A to point B. If you don't mind, I would like to explain it to them, because because it will pass through their mind without registering anything. Here you have the greatest so-called prophet on earth ever. talking about distances measured in years of time, not miles, not kilometers, time. By the way, the verse that he forgot was the most momentous verse in his life. He forgot on which night of the month of Ramadan that the first revelation was given to him. That was the verse you're quoting. It is as if a woman gave birth to a child and she can't remember on which night of the week or a month or a year she gave birth to her first child.
But let me underscore also the importance of this, because I don't want this to bypass anybody's recollection here, their understanding. I want everyone to acknowledge what Muhammad just said. Here's the reality. Nothing of the Quran was written down within 150 to almost 200 years of Muhammad's death. In fact, the first written copies we have differ substantially from the copies that are published today. Now, that being the case, 100% of what is known from the Quran has been passed on from person to person by hearsay, mouth to ear, like the children's game called telephone. And here now is Muhammad himself, the one who is supposed to be the perfect spokesperson for the Quran, the one who claims to have received it. Not only can't he remember it, not only does he admit that he can't remember it, not only is he saying that I can't remember the most important date in all of Islam, which is the date that I got my first revelation, he says that his God caused him to forget it. He blamed his God for his inability to remember it. And then he makes a statement that is akin to your statement on distance and equates it to the only thing he knows, which is the speed of a runaway camel.
Unbelievable, but true. Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith 1.2. Allah's Apostle was asked, "Oh Allah's Apostle, how is the divine inspiration revealed to you?" Muhammad answered, "Sometimes it is revealed like the ringing of a bell. This form of inspiration is the hardest of all. And then this state passes off after I have grasped what I have inspired." I would like to add to this speculum because it's extremely important. Ladies and gentlemen, I have made mention on numerous occasions that it is by divine justice that the very hadith that explain to the followers of Muhammad his Quran and his Sunnah are the very same that utterly discredit Muhammad as a prophet and the alleged divine origin of his Quran. Because the next verse regarding bells tells us a different story. Sahih Muslim Hadith 5227, narrated by Abu Hurairah. Muhammad said, "Angels do not accompany the travelers who have with them a dog, a bell, which is a musical instrument of Satan." Now, let us ponder this self-incriminating statement from the mouth of Muhammad. Since Muhammad received most of his revelations accompanied with the sound of ringing bells, should we not conclude that they were actually coming from Satan and not from Allah? Back to you, sir.
So there's nothing to add to that other than the connection of those two statements is genius. The ability to go from knowing to understanding is a direct result of making connections. IQ just made an stunningly important connection. Muhammad said that bells are associated with Satan. He claimed that all of his Quranic revelations were in the form of a ringing bell. Make the connection. Shattering Myths. I am your host and tour guide, Yada. We're with an extraordinary individual today, IQ Al Rasulik, who made an astonishing connection. Here, Muhammad is saying that bells, which he accompanies or associates with music, which he hates, and dogs, which he hates, and he associates dogs and bells with Satan, and then he says that all of his revelations from Allah came to him by the way of ringing bells. It reminds me of another connection. Now, this is not in the idea of utter just foolishness, in foolish statements in the sense of hilarious, but it is consistent with what you just said. When Muhammad was offered by the Meccans sex, power, and money, which are the only things that he really craved anyway, sex, power, and money by the Meccans, Muhammad relented and said, yeah, I'd like those things. But the thing that the Meccans wanted was for Muhammad to acknowledge some of their gods and goddesses, because they had 360 rock gods in the Kaaba, of which Allah was just the largest, the black stone, the biggest of the rocks in the rock garden. And so Muhammad acquiesced to the bribe and said that Alat, Manat, and Aluza were goddesses that could serve as intermediaries to Allah. And therefore, he was entitled to receive sex, power, and money from the Meccans. But he had a handful of followers at the time, and one of his followers said, wait a minute, if you got four gods and goddesses, how is this religion monotheistic? And so Muhammad had to recant because the few followers he had were holding it against him. I guess they weren't given sex, power, and money, or Muhammad wasn't into sharing. So he recanted, and he said that revelation was from Satan. But worse than that, he said that all of Allah's messengers speak on behalf of Satan.
This is a satanic versus controversy, by the way.
Yes.
And you can only find it in Ibn Ishaq.
Yes.
He is the one who wrote about it.
Yes. Yes, it is true, although it's covered in the Quran. The Quran itself acknowledges
only
it.
Only as a sideline in chapter Al-Star, in the Star.
Yeah. Which, by the way, Star, the very name of Satan is associated with the rising star, the morning star, if you will. So it's appropriate that the satanic verses would be in a Quran chapter named after a star. But there is no way around the satanic verses in Islam, because they are in the reference to the satanic verses is in the Quran, as is the acknowledgement that all of Allah's messengers speak on behalf of Satan.
Yep. So denied the whole thing, as you said. He denied them in several verses in that chapter.
Yes.
That it was he who said it, that it, in fact it was Satan who put it in his mouth.
Correct.
So in the Quran. Both in the Hadith and in the Quran.
Correct. Yeah, that's the thing about the satanic verses. When Salman Rushdie wrote a novel about the satanic verses, and everybody in Islam got all upset, and they put a fatwa on him to kill him, the reality is the satanic verses cannot be disregarded by a thoughtful Muslim. The satanic verses are chronicled in the Quran. Muhammad admits to speaking on behalf of Satan. And so they are there, and therefore, if you're going to be a thoughtful Muslim, which I think is an oxymoron, you can't disregard them. Let's return to some.
Bukhari Hadith 4.494 narrated by Ibn Umar. Muhammad said, you should not seek to pray at sunrise or sunset, for the sun rises between the two sides of the head of the Satan. This is the genius of Muhammad.
Yeah, the sun rises on the two sides of Satan.
Again and again and again, he is fixated with Satan. Everything is fixated with Satan.
It is absolutely true. Let me tell you a story that Muhammad, wanting to sound like he knew whom Christians view as Jesus, his name is Yahusha. He is written as Esau, which is Arabic for Esau in the Quran. So the apostle said to Esau, which you can pick whatever name you want there, would you send us a man who saw the ark and could tell us about it? And so he took a handful of earth in the palm of his hand and asked, do you know what this is? Allah and his prophet know best. They couldn't even answer that it was dirt. And Esau said, this is the grave of Noah's son, Ham. He struck the hill with his staff and said, rise with Allah's permission. And behold, there was Ham, with gray hair, shaking the earth from his head. Jesus, Esau, Yahusha, asked him, whether he had perished in that state with gray hair, and Ham replied, "No, when I died, I was a young man, but I thought that the day of doom had come, and my hair turned gray." Jesus, Esau, Yahusha said, "Tell us about Noah's Ark." And he said, "Oh, it was 1,200 cubits long, nearly 4,000 feet, and 600 cubits wide, and it had three stories, and one for domesticated animals, and one for wild animals, and another for human beings. And there was a third for the birds. And when the dung of the animals became excessive, Allah inspired Noah to tickle the elephant's tail. He did. And a male and female dog fell down and attacked the dung. And when the rat fell into the seams of the planks of the ark, it gnawed at them. And Allah inspired Noah to strike the lion between its eyes. And a male and female cat came out from its nose and to attack the rat. And the problem was solved." Now imagine telling the story. Yes. Now imagine telling people this story as if, you know, I was an eyewitness. I know all about this guy, Esau. Jesus, Yahusha. And let me just tell you a story that he told his disciples so that you can see me as being a similar. And that's what he came up with.
And people believe it. 1,500 million people believe it. And another 5,500 million don't even know how vile, how stupid, how outrageous it is.
It is. Here's from Tabati, Volume 6, page 75. Messenger, how did you first know with absolute certainty that you were a prophet? Good question, right? He said, "Oh, yeah, two angels came to me while I was somewhere in Mecca." Doesn't know where he was, of course. One angel said, "Open up his breast and take out his heart." He opened my chest and my heart, removing the pollution of Satan and a blood clot, and threw them away. Then one said, "Wash his breast as you would a receptacle." He summoned the Shekinah, which looked like the face of a white cat, and he placed it in my heart. Then one said, "Sew up his breast." So they sewed up my chest and placed the seal between my shoulders. End quote.
Did you know that Muhammad had, according to the hadith, three surgeries to remove from his heart, not his brain, because under Muhammadan Islam, the brain is not functioning. It's only the body which is functioning. They removed evil, clots, and unbelief three times from the most perfect human being that has ever been created. Under Isma', which is the dogma of the purity of Muhammad, the concept of Isma' says that Muhammad was purer than Jesus. And yet they had three operations to remove blood clots from his heart.
Let's see. Muhammad was a pedophile when he was 53. He had sex with a six-year-old girl. Muhammad was incestuous. He stole his adopted son's wife to have sex with her. Muhammad was a rapist. Every time that his men attacked a village and got women slaves, Muhammad got first pick as to who he could rape. Muhammad was a mass murderer. Muhammad led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. Muhammad built Islam based upon the slave trade, upon kidnapping, and upon thievery. Muhammad acknowledged that he lied. And you want me to believe that this man was the purest individual who ever lived? Play the position of a Muslim. You're going to believe that a pedophile, which is, I think, the worst crime that a person can commit, a mass murderer, a slave trader, a kidnapper, a man who was incestuous, a man who raped multiple women, you want to tell me that that was the purest man who ever lived, that his life was a better example of how to live than Yahusha?
Yes. From their point of view, this is a remarkable thing. You said, you cannot find a thinking Muslim. It is impossible to find a Muslim with two brain cells of logic. This is impossible. But they give the excuse that Allah allowed it all. Since Allah allowed it, then it must be pure. It is halal. So, what we have in Europe and America is going to happen in America, but what we have in Europe at the moment, mass rape, a lot of rape of Christian white girls by Muslims.
Right.
And yet the media in the West cover it up. But it is happening, and a in Norway, in Sweden, in France, in England, in Holland, it doesn't matter where. Wherever Muslims live in the West, they use European women because they look upon European women as infidels. And since they are infidels, they're not Muslim, then they are prey. They can be raped. They can be molested. They can be humiliated. They can be degraded.
Yeah, there are sermons about it in the Islamic world. High-ranking imams in Saudi Arabia, for example, will tell the mythical people known as the Palestinians to rape Jewish women because Allah made them for their enjoyment. And so it is, and it's directly out of the Quran. The Quran allows, in fact, even encourages rape. It encourages prostitution. And so that's why we have these terrible things. This is from Bukhari, Volume 7, Book 7, D1, number 592. I heard Allah's apostle saying, there is healing in cumin for all diseases except death. Then he said, Allah's apostle says, if a fly falls into your drink, dip all of it into the cup and then throw it away. For in one of its wings there is a disease, and the other there is healing, an antidote or treatment for that disease.
Superb. Very hygienic. Bukhari 4.456. Allah's apostle said, I will wait.
Yeah, there are so many of these. Stay with us, and after the break, we'll share more of them with you, like this one. The climate of Medina did not suit people, so the Prophet ordered them to drink camel urine as if it were medicine. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back in a moment. Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We're here with IQ Al-Rasuli, who is an expert on the religion of Islam. We are exposing some of the stupidity in Islam. We're going to do several programs on this particular topic, because if we can undermine the credibility of Islam in people's minds, then they will be more willing to be opposed to it. And people need to oppose Islam if we have any hope of saving this world from its ongoing slaughter. You were in the midst of sharing a quote. IQ, please go ahead.
Bukhari 4.546. Muhammad said, Gabriel has just now told me of an answer. He was debating with his friends. But of course, Gabriel, at his own command, answered the question. It says, if a man has sexual intercourse with his wife and gets discharged first, the child will resemble him. And if the woman gets discharged first, the child will resemble her. Even the archangel of Allah is made to look profoundly stupid.
It's what happens to be one of my favorites in all of Islam, just because the Muhammad claims that it is Gabriel who has supplied him with the Quran, and somebody asked him a question, you know, and Muhammad, egotistical people like Muhammad can't say, you know, I just don't know the answer to that question. Maybe I can find an answer for you, but I don't know it. They're just incapable of doing that because they want to present themselves as perfect. So he said, well, Gabriel, the guy that gave me the Quran, just gave me the answer. Here's the answer. And of course, all he did was make himself look like a complete idiot. Here's one, Bukhari, Volume 3, Book 33, number 254. Satan circulates in human beings as blood flows in our bodies. He does have a fixation on Satan, does he not?
Every single item is to do, almost every single item is to do with Satan. Tabari 1.293. When Allah cast Adam down from paradise, Adam's feet were on earth while his head was in heaven. Dear listeners, I would like you to understand something here. Adam was not cast down from paradise. He was kicked out from the Garden of Eden, which was on earth and not in heaven. As usual, the all-knowing Muhammad got all his information upside down and inside out.
Yeah, here's an interesting connection IQ. But by the way, before I share it with you, one of the things that I came to the conclusion when I wrote Prophet of Doom was that that all of the Medina surahs, those that were allegedly revealed in Yathrib, were all based upon bastardizing and twisting Talmud passages, that Muhammad twisted the Talmud passages to serve his own interests, and he had a very poor memory, and so he got so many of the details wrong. What IQ just recited is an example of, he heard something that he bought from the rabbis in terms of a quotation from their Talmud, and then he just twisted it and got it confused, and that's how it came out so perverted. This is from Bukhari, Volume 7, Book 71. The prophet said, no contagious disease is conveyed without Allah's permission. Now, that would make the Islamic God responsible for every contagious disease. For the bubonic plague, the Black Death, you name it. Then he says, I heard the prophet saying, fever, which is typically the symptom of a contagious disease, is from the heat of the hellfire. So he's saying that fever, which is a symptom of a disease, is from hell, and all contagious disease is conveyed with Allah's permission. That's like the comments you made about the bell. Put those two things together, and who is Allah?
Satan.
Correct.
Now to the Quran. Sorry, this is an interesting one. Al-Isra 17.101. To Moses, we did give 9 clear signs. Ask the children of Israel.
Oh, this is great. This is great. I can't wait for you to read
this
one.
I did ask the children of Israel, just as Muhammad requested. Uh-huh. And they told me that to start with, the clear signs or miracles were 10 in number and not 9. Yet again, for at least the 1,000th time, the all-knowing Muhammad was wrong. I mean, it is unbelievable.
I thought you were going to share what the signs were, because they're hilarious. One is how to pluck debris from one's mustache. One is how to use a toothpick. One is how to clear one's behind after you have done your business. It is the signs that Allah allegedly gave Moses are absolutely hilarious. Well, thank you, IQ. We'll continue with our evaluation of stupidity in Islam.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that...